Got a question, or are you involved in some kind of a state dispute? Check in with us. Confidentially, of course. Executor Help, that's the name of the book. We'll be back with David Eady in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're back with David Eady as we talk about his work, Executor Help, how to settle an estate, pick an executor, and avoid family fights. What are the odds of these family fights, David? How high?
It can go either way. It depends on the family and how they've decided to, prepare their future generations and how well do they communicate. Every family, it has their issues. Everybody, I'm sure in your family, there's some people you don't get along with, but you tolerate them, but because that's the way they are. And it becomes amplified the problems when there's a death, there's an estate to handle. And people who you thought you knew, they change in right before your eyes, and you're probably not going to recognize who they are. So, again, it's all about communication. And it starts when you decide, I'm going to make sure that I have my affairs in order. I'm going to make sure that I have an estate plan. I'm going to make sure that I have health care directives. And I'm going to make sure that I pick an executor, prepare them the best way I can, and for them to understand what the responsibility is and don't have them surprised that they've been named an executor. And then I want to have that conversation with my family of what my wishes are, that hopefully that they, while you're alive, that you're going to make sure that you have them understand what your wishes are and that they can abide by them. Yes, they may not like it, but that's just too bad. It's your estate. You can do anything you want. And you go from there. But far too often, like I said before, 60% of Americans don't even have an estate or a will plan, and they end up with the family fights.
Generally, who's responsible for putting this together? The person with the assets before they die?
Yes. It's the person who's setting up the estate, who's known as the testator, and they're going to make sure that they organize themselves. Now, a lot of people say, well, I haven't got a lot of things. I don't have an estate. That's only for rich people. Well, if you've got a bank account, you own a car, or you've got a little bit of money in the bank, you've got a few investments, or you own a home, you have an estate. And then you add on top of that, you've got digital assets. That's part of your estate as well. You've got email accounts. You've got social media accounts. You've got a banking online. You've got things stored in the cloud. So you have an estate, and you can't take it for granted. Now, it's how are you going to create that will? There's a lot of online solutions. I'm not a big fan of them, but at least you're getting something done. But you'd also, spend a few, find an estate planning lawyer and get that taken care of. It's a couple hundred dollars as opposed to, leaving thousands of dollars that, unwanted taxes that have to be paid or the family falling apart. This is probably the biggest love letter or the biggest love thing that you could do for your family ever is to organize yourself and make sure that you create a legacy that is going to be passed on and the family stays together. Again, you don't want to leave your family disorganized and in chaos. They're going to be traumatized as it is because you're gone. Your stabilizing presence is gone. So you need to make sure that you organize and do the biggest love letter, which would be your will and getting your estate in order, that you can keep your family together forever.
Why are so many people not prepared for this? Do they just not think they're going to die?
There's that. And they procrastinate. They can always wait. Oh, it's not at the top of my, not at the top of my.
Right. I'm not going to die tomorrow. So
exactly. We're
gonna wait.
But again, spoiler alert. Everybody that's listening, you and I, George, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Well. Sadly, one day. That's right.
Exactly. And I have a friend who, he found out he's got 18 to 24 months, and he calls it, and he's at peace with that, and he says that, everybody's got their own alarm clock, life's alarm clock, and at least he knows when his is set. For a lot of people, You have your own life alarm clock, but you don't know when it's going to go off. So why not be prepared? He talks about how he's at peace. You know, he's sold off his assets and he's got them organized. He's moved to Utah. He's golfing, but he knows it's going to change. He was joking with me the other day how he sold off his custom-made double-breasted suits. And all of those things, they don't matter anymore. What matters is that his family is going to, you know, miss him, but he's also going to be—he's prepared them, and for what's coming. But he's also enjoying his life, and that's what matters right now.
Who would buy his double-breasted suits?
George, I don't know. Somebody would. I don't know, but but those are the things. Think about it. When there's an estate, there has to be an auction. There's a lot of things that have to be sold. So maybe there's someone who could wear those custom-made suits. I don't know.
My producer Tom goes to funeral homes and buys the clothes from the victims.
Right.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
I know he's probably listening right now going, what are you talking about?
Everybody's got their own style. Okay, that's his style.
They do. Let's go to the phones. You ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to Joe in Winchester, New Hampshire. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, David.
Hi.
I'll try to make this within a couple of minutes. I'm working on a book. I'm going to title it Sister from Hell, My Sister from Hell.
Oh, geez. Sorry to hear that.
7 years ago, and this is probably a worse case than you, spending $50,000 in court and, extra time. I know that's pretty severe, but my case, I think, far exceeds that in terms of cost and the situation as far as diminishing my estate deliberately.
Right.
But 7 years ago, I'm on the internet looking up relatives' names just for the heck of it, and I came across my aunt on my father's side. She had just passed in February, and this was May of 2015. So I took my time. A few months later, I contacted Rhode Island. I'm in New Hampshire. She was in Rhode Island. My sister's in Virginia. And anyway, I've had a lot of trouble with my estranged sister. I was taking care of my elderly mother, who was in her mid-90s, and with no help from her. It's a long story. There's a lot of sidebars to it. But anyway, getting back to the estate, I contacted the lawyer. She had no will. She was never married, no children, and she had dementia her last few years. And her estate was nearly $3 million, as it turned out. So, but, she lived alone. She had her own nice house, and I don't know much about her. I hadn't seen her since my father's death about 18 years earlier, but she was a real loner, and she had dementia. So anyway, I contacted the attorneys handling the estate, and my inner self told me, do not tell him about my sister and brother, because it's going to be a lot of trouble. It isn't that I wanted to disinherit them per se, but I didn't need trouble for me and my elderly mom. But at the last second, my cousins in Rhode Island, they were going to be the only heirs, the two cousins. They deliberately left my father off the family tree with this attorney. And had it not been by the grace of God looking at the computer that night, I never would have known about it, and neither would have my sister. So I reluctantly told him at the end of the half-hour conversation. He says, is there anything else I should know? They left you off the family trees, or anything you know that I should know? Wish he hadn't asked me that question. And I said, well, I have a sister and a brother. Gave them the information. Worst decision of my entire life. Well, anyway, he contacted them, and this was in August of 2015. My sister was very cooperative with him for a while, but then when it came time in 2016 when money was going to be dispersed, she hired a lawyer in Rhode Island to represent her interests, stopped the estate, started accusing him of misconduct, and she knew that was a lie. She went out looking for more heirs, and she actually found three, which diminished the estate further. And here's the thing. For every dollar she's diminishing my share, she's diminishing her own share.
Her own, sure.
Had I not mentioned her name and my brother's name, I would have ended up with a little over $1 million. With all the delay, the attorney assigned $80,000 out of the estate to protect it, and it was another $100,000+ later because of the delay and all the extra attorneys. And she fought it. She tried to keep delaying it. In the end, had I could have ended up with a little over $1 million. Now, by mentioning her and my brother, I still would have ended up with about $350,000. By the time she was done trying to destroy everything on me deliberately, and it's her own mother because I'm taking care of her mother.
Well, wouldn't she have known about the estate before, regardless?
Yeah, she wouldn't have even known about it had I not mentioned her name.
Really?
And if I hadn't found this the obituary on the internet, I never would have found out about it because I was being disinherited by my two cousins.
Okay.
So anyway,
okay.
In the end, when the dust settled, I ended up with $166,000. I could have had $1 million+. I should have had about $350,000 because my brother and sister, you know, would have been in the mix. But she was successful in devaluing it down about $165,000, $166,000 for her and me. She would have ended up with about $350,000 had she just sat back and been grateful. She never would have known about it. And this is my question to David, really, as bizarre as what I went through. And there's, by the way, there's two more estates, two cousins. They had no will. They were not married, no children, one in Massachusetts and one in Florida. These estates are probably $1.5 million each. And there's about 9 people involved. Now, this isn't a case of my discovering it and including my sister. This is I found out through attorneys that were, you know, looking for family members. But these estates, I stand to get maybe $50,000-$70,000, roughly. But my sister and those estates are not cooperating. She's trying to delay those estates to devalue it. And she's devaluing her own money by doing that. I mean, the extreme hate, psychological problems. I mean, she has psychological problems and
clearly
sidebars all over the place. But I guess my question is, and telling my story to your guest is, has he been aware of people that hate a sibling so much that they're willing to devalue their own share of the estate by hundreds of thousands of dollars just to diminish the one they hate?
Just to hurt
the
one they don't like. I guess that happens, doesn't it, David?
Absolutely. And whatever her issues are, that it's in her mind from when you were kids. There's something about you or something about the family that happened to her that's triggered her to want to just basically burn the place down because it's costing her money. You know, if she just kept quiet and instead of feeling into it, it's not even she's feeling entitled, because if she felt entitled, she would end up with $350,000. But she for whatever reason, she wants to burn the place down and everybody around it. And the least amount that you get, she gets, she's okay with it. So clearly there's some issues there. And it's not uncommon that people want to be difficult. And there must be a reason why at the beginning you didn't want to call her and let her know what was going on, because you probably have issues with her, because you knew who you were dealing with, correct?
I guess, yeah. He hung up now.
Oh, okay. So he clearly had, he's had problems with her as well. So, and it goes back to what I said before, is that the problems that you're going to have, and, you know, there's the, you know, the triangle of conflict, siblings that don't get along and family members. That held up the estate for 7 years, and people got less because someone, you know, wanted to sabotage everybody. They wanted to inflict pain. And for whatever reason, back in the history of the family, they want to inflict pain and on others. Now, so it's not uncommon. It's unfortunate because it sounds like the person died intestate, so it got the courts involved, and then it's broken down by percentages like we talked about before in terms of who was going to get what. You know, he thought he was doing the right thing by, you know, mentioning his sister and the brother, but she had issues, and she's ready to burn the place down. And again, we're he's talking about two other estates, you know, $1 million or $1.5 million. And what do they have in common? Another triangle of conflict issue, no will. And now they've got to go through all of this, this red tape, and he's going to have to go through probably, a lot of issues with her and heartache, because of her.
Are there estate lawyers who specialize in things like this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you can, depending on where you are, do a Google search, talk to friends, and do a little bit of research. Don't spend a lot of time, but at least get it done. If it's a couple of hundred dollars, get it done. Because look, a couple of hundred dollars would have saved, you know, the gentleman was just on there, you know, a couple hundred dollars, he would have, he might have got something or he might not have got nothing, but it would have made it a lot easier for the family. A couple of hundred dollars would have saved them $80,000 in lawyer's fees. A couple of hundred dollars would have saved a lot of heartache, and the family is probably more disorganized and more in chaos than ever before.
Let's go to Rockland County, New York. Richard's with us east of the Rockies. Hello, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I have a story that, I'll just read a headline for you. The Mystery of the Secret Docket. And then there's another headline called How Hundreds of Cases Stay Hidden from the Public. I'm going to read another sentence here, very brief. Judges in X County on Long Island, I'm leaving that name out, have created a secret docket. What I found and testified, along with hundreds of other people in the state of New York, we discovered that the judges were lying on their financial forms and ethics forms and hiding people's estate money.
Wow.
Okay. This is gigantic. I'm living a Jason Bourne movie.
You are.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. I mean, one of my partners was murdered because of this. The back of his head was caved in. His body was dumped on the street between my uncle's home and his home. And another person was shot out for a walk. And he was a wildcrafter and was hunting for mushrooms. He spotted a mushroom, reached down to pick it up just as a shot went off. The shot hit him in the neck. He was bleeding like a pig. And he made it to the street. And a stranger picked him up and drove him to the hospital, and he lived. Okay?
Is he still alive?
Followed. Excuse me?
He's still alive, Rich?
That I don't know. I think so. But I was followed because I started to, in my uncle's will, he made his dead mother an executor to the will. How the heck did you do that?
She was already dead?
Yes.
Jeez.
He paid for her funeral. Okay? And the judge insisted that my uncle was wrong. So we had the judge checked out. Okay? And then we discovered that there's a huge amount of this going across the nation. So I had a friend, ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence, and Admiral. And I went to him, and I had spotted what was going on, and I asked him, what's going on here? And he said, well, it's coming from the top of the food chain in Washington, D.C., and in Long Island. And they're stealing estate money, and they're using it, but it's not Americans. There are three nations involved in this. An Asian nation, a Middle East religious nation, and a group out of Germany.
Well, how could a nation, David, steal estate money? Is that conceivable?
I don't know. I the only way they could steal it is if the money, all of this money is intestate and people left estates and they didn't have a will, so it's intestate, and the government now is in charge of the money, and, you know, people aren't following up.
All right, we're going to come back, David, and follow up with you and take final phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you're not in Hawaii or Arizona, don't forget Daylight Saving Time this coming Sunday at 2 a.m. So, you know, before you go to bed Saturday night, just turn your clocks up an hour, and you'll be all set the next day and until we make the switch back in November. How quickly time flies, huh? And welcome back to Coast. We're back with our final segment with David Eady as we talk about his work, Executor Help. Where do you get the book, David?
You can go to my website or you can go to Amazon.com and or any of the great online retailers, and you can buy the book there. But if you go on my website, you can actually get a free sample chapter digitally or the audio book version. And I've also got something that I pulled out a lot of people have a lot of questions about being an executor. So I've got something called 50 Executor Questions Answered. And again, you can get that as a digital copy or as an audiobook version. And
sure.
That's all on my website on davidedie.com.
David, if what I'm hearing from these calls is pretty accurate, this is a nightmare, doesn't it? Does it ever end with a happy ending?
Absolutely. There's plenty of people who can pass on their, you know, from generation to generation, and that starts because they've got an estate, and that's because they've got a will and they got an estate plan. If you listen to the calls that we've had come in, what they all have in common, there was no will, and we have the courts involved. When you get the courts involved, that delays everything, and then other family members get involved because there's a percentage going to be left to them. So it all starts by having a will, having an estate plan, and making it a lot easier for your family. Why do you want to have the courts involved? And I think it's also important, especially if you have school-age children, you want to make sure that you have a will, because if you don't have a will and you haven't got that all organized, you've now made sure that the state is going to be involved with how your child is going to be educated, because they're going to be the one that's going to make the decisions of where they live, how much money they're going to be entitled to. And that's all because you didn't take the time to have an estate plan, have a will.
How does Social Security work with the surviving spouse?
Every state is different, and there'll be a percentage. There'll be a widow. Because I'm in Canada, but I know in Canada there's a widow's pension, and I'm pretty sure it's the same thing in the United States. But where you would find that out is when you're selling the estate as the executor, when you're going to be closing down the Social Security account and sending back the cards and that sort of thing like that. You could ask those questions in terms of what the beneficiary, if it's a spouse, what they'll be entitled to.
All right, let's go back to the phones. First-time caller Chip is with us in Shelby, North Carolina. Hello, Chipper. Go ahead.
Hello, George. George, I've got kind of an unusual case. This is my girlfriend. It doesn't attain to me, and I could care less because I'm independent. But her brother died, and he's worth about $5 million.
Wow.
And they've sold the estate. They can't find what they got for the estate. He had all kind of stocks and bonds and everything. She can't find out any information whatsoever. She's going to the courthouse, and what they have registered is nothing. I mean, it's just nothing.
Now, was he married, or did he have any?
Yes, he was married, but his wife is deceased, and Nancy's tried every way possible to find out what's going on and all this. And she can't get any answers at all.
What does she do, David?
It sounds like, did he have a will?
Did he have a will, Chip?
Yes.
He did.
Okay, so then who is the executor?
She is. Yes.
So if she's the executor, she should have a copy of the will. And if there are stocks and bonds. Sorry?
She don't have a copy of the will. She's never even heard the will be read.
But she's the executor?
Yes.
That's weird.
She's the executor.
Well, she's the last living spouse, and all the money that was left in the estate was go to the, you know, the family, and she's the last living sister of the family.
Yeah, but that doesn't make her automatically the executor. For if it sounds like there's no will, so then it would take the probate court, the courts, to designate who would be the executor, who would be the administrator. If he had a will, then it would state that she's the executor and she has access to sell the estate based on his wishes, based in the will. It doesn't go by, well, she's the last living relative or whatever the connection could be. If there's no will, then you have to go by what the courts designate who will be the administrator.
Will the courts generally give her the money if she's the only family member left?
Yeah, they probably will. But then again, if there's it'd be broken down by percentages, like from our previous caller. He, you know, there was him, and then there was the other sister and the brother. So again, they're dying intestate, so they're now have to be settled, and it'll be broken down by percentages.
What do you do, David, when you can't find anything because you have no idea where the guy banked or did anything like that?
That's a big problem.
It is.
You're going to have to, if you have access to the what becomes now like a detective, if you're going to have to go into the home and see if you can find a bank statement, and then even then the bank may not talk to you because they're going to ask you for, you know, the will. Who are you?
Who are you?
Once the bank knows that the person's passed away, the accounts are going to be frozen.
So, and you might have to bring a death certificate, right?
Exactly. You might have to bring a death certificate. Now, if there's a will, all of those things will be easy to attain and, you know, present to the bank. If there's no will, then you're going to have to petition the court and explain the situation, bring the death certificate, and get a judgment to make the individual, that the court would decide who would be the administrator. And then you would go from there.
Do you need the account number of the bank that he had?
That would help, but like I said, once you let the bank know that the person's passed away, the accounts are going to be frozen, so you're not going to have access. If there has to be bills to be paid, you're not going to be able to, you know, maybe pay for the funeral, all of those things there. I had a friend where they didn't have enough to bury her brother, and the family had to come up with money to, I think it was $15,000. Had to come up with $15,000 to pay for his funeral because he didn't have a will. He didn't have any sort of insurance. He didn't have anything at all.
Unbelievable. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, what do you say, old buddy, old pal, old friend of mine?
Copyright.
I've got another horror story about wills and stuff.
Oh, boy.
Right down your alley. But hello out there to all you coast-to-coasters, and hello, Mike and Wayne and Corny. I'd say hello to them. But listen, my granddaddy was 95 in the year 2000, and my mother had lived with him for a while, but she got pretty feeble, so I went and lived with him myself. His old body was worn slam out, but his brain was just as sharp as a tack. I loved talking to him. Well, he let us and about 20 other grandkids know that he was not going to leave any of his money to his kids. He was going to leave it split up between all the grandkids.
Hmm.
So sure enough, I lived with him for 9 months, and he died in my arms practically. And God bless him. I mean, he was just the most Superman to talk to. I loved it. He talked about 1900 and 1905. Anyway. Oh, boy. We thought it was going to be maybe $1 million split 20 ways or something. No big deal. Well, it was about $15 million.
Whoa.
So in sets the greed factor. And we fussed and fought, and I finally threw up my hands. I said, y'all just leave me out of any of it. I didn't need the money. I didn't care about the money. I loved him. I said, y'all just fight it out. And they're still fighting over it 20 years later.
And the money's still there?
I suppose some of it's been dispersed, but I'm not sure, George. I bowed out years ago and said, y'all just get lost.
You walked from $750,000.
Oh, I know that, but I had enough money. I still do to get by. I'm no problem. But
when he said that he wanted to leave it to the grandchildren, did he have that in the will, or he just said that verbally?
Well, he basically said it verbally because in his will, it just said what money he had was to be split evenly amongst all the grandkids.
Okay.
Nobody cared until it was worth $15 million, and then they all got greedy.
Okay, so then, they should abide by, he did everything right. If it's in the will, it says, I want to leave it to the grandkids. He had the conversation with the adult children. I'm leaving it to the grandkids. That should be it. But again, Georgia comes back to you and says, well, you know what? You had a will, and how could you end up in court? How could you be fighting? Here's another perfect example. People that feel entitled, I'm not interested in what your wishes are. I'm only interested in what I should be, what I'm entitled to. And you say, well, how do families break down? 20 years later, we're still having, they're still fighting. And, you know, your caller here, he stepped away from it because he doesn't need the hassle. But it happens all the time.
Would this guy's children have a claim to try to supersede the grandkids?
No. If it's written in the will that I'm leaving it to my grandchildren, then that should be it.
And what determines a will? Can a guy just write it out on a piece of paper and sign it by himself?
He can, but that's I wouldn't suggest that because someone might find it not like what they see and tear it up. You know, the R&B singer Aretha Franklin, she had four written wills, handwritten wills, and
all different, right?
All different, and so you've got so now, you know, what can possibly go wrong? So you know what? Maybe one beneficiary likes will number three, but is not doesn't like what happens in number four. So you know, don't do a handwritten will because it could be misinterpreted, it could be found, it could be altered. You don't, again, for a couple of $100, organize it so that you have everything in place and have it done professionally. Again, if you want to do it online, again, I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, why not go in and spend a couple of $100 and make sure that you protect your family?
Well, that seems like the bottom line here. You got to protect yourself and your family.
Yeah. It comes back down to it. Do you want to leave your family disorganized and in chaos, or do you want to leave a legacy, and not just a legacy, but you don't want to leave a mess? And it comes down to that. And far too often, it's happening every day. Families are falling apart, and money is destroying them because they're not having the conversation. You're not getting an estate plan set together. Not having a will. They're not having the conversations. And you know, we've heard story after story, and there's probably even more people that would want to call in and tell their stories as well. And that's why I ended up writing the book, because I didn't want people to have to go through what I went through.
Let's go to Paul in Montreal. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, sir. I heard that your guest, David Eady, is from Montreal.
Yes.
So I'm also in Montreal right now. So what happened is my mother's brother died. She's an heir. She's still alive. So am I. And he had no kids. He left my cousin as executor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an apartment building involved, and there's a bank account involved. There's money in the account, in the bank account. There's $150,000 in the bank account. And there's an apartment building which is owned by multiple, the brothers and sisters, the family, okay? The uncle that died was a part owner. Now, the issue is that my cousin, who is the executor, he got upset with me because I told him to do the job honestly, and I guess he took it the wrong way, and now he doesn't talk to me. It's been a year and a half since my uncle died, and he hasn't given out any of the money. I'm wondering, how long can he delay? Okay, there's an apartment building that needs to be sold, and the money needs to be given out, but there's also a bank account. How long can you hold on to a bank account that's there?
And not touch it. How long can you sit on it, David?
Well, that's the problem. You need to, well, first off, everybody's going to take it the wrong way. If you know, the way you said it, you know, you're not doing it honestly. So he's going to get his nose out of joint. So what you need to do is open up the communication again. So, you know what, maybe I was a little out of, I know it's a hard job that you're doing. But I just want to get, you know, I want to move on with my life.
Yep.
You know, where are you at with the estate, and open it, you know, try it that way and see if he'll let you know what's going on. But again, to settle the estate, it takes a long time. And what he should be doing, whether he gets along with you or doesn't, he should be keeping all of the beneficiaries apprised of what's going on. And if it's more than a year, then I think, you know, you should try the soft approach and say, you know, I was out of line. Maybe I should, you know, what's going on? Just want to, you know, I know you got a lot of stuff to do, but what, you know, what's going on? If he doesn't answer you back that way, then maybe just send a little lawyer's letter. Nothing rude, but just something that's just give him a little nudge and say, you know, I'd just like to know what's going on. Because you're entitled as a legal heir in the estate.
All right, my friend.
What's going on.
David, thank you for the information. It's great, valuable, and good luck with the book, okay?
Thank you very much, George. I appreciate the time and all the callers. Thank you very much.
It's a subject that a lot of people feel a little skittish about, but very necessary, so thank you. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ryan Stacey, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.